Simon & Schuster Audio presents The Lost Men, the harrowing saga of Shackleton's Ross Sea Party, by Kelly Tyler Lewis, read by Graham Malcolm.
By March 20th, 1916, the earliest days of the Great War were fading from memory. The hopes of swift victory on both sides had long since evaporated. On that day, the Times of London advertised History of the War, Part 83, revisiting the beginnings of the bewildering descent into the war to end all wars after a century of relative peace in Europe. As the battles dragged on into a new year, submarine attacks, aerial bombardment, and mass slaughter on the Western Front dominated the headlines. With the number of British men mobilized climbing into the millions, page upon page listed the losses in Europe, Mesopotamia, East Africa, the Mediterranean, and Egypt. Killed, accidentally killed, missing, believed killed, wounded, died of wounds. Dozens of charities entreated readers for help, among them friendless Belgian prisoners of war, Polish Victims Relief Fund, and the Waifs and Strays Society, along with personal pleas, wanted, home for boy of 2 years. That same day, on page 7 of the newspaper, a short item announced, news of the expedition which Sir Ernest Shackleton led to the Antarctic with the object of crossing the South Polar continent is expected to reach England at any moment. Sir Ernest Shackleton left for the Antarctic in 1914. Nothing has since been heard of the expedition. He estimated that it would take him 4 months to cross the Antarctic continent, and on the other side, he expected to join hands with the party which, sailing in the Aurora from Tasmania in December 1914, were to make a base at the Ross Sea and go to meet him early this year. The article was the first mention of Shackleton in the pages of the Times in well over a year. It had not always been so. In the early stages of his expedition, bulletins about the celebrated explorer appeared every day and were eagerly absorbed by a fascinated public. Then, on August 1, 1914, German forces invaded Belgium, and in a matter of days, the nations of Europe were at war. In December, Shackleton's ships, the Endurance and the Aurora, sailed south into the Antarctic and vanished from the public eye, their adventure eclipsed by a war whose devastation surpassed all others in the history of humankind. On Monday, March 20th, the story excited little attention in London and escaped the notice of the Southland Times, the newspaper of Bluff, New Zealand. Bluff was one of the farthest corners of the British Empire, in another hemisphere, and the next day on the calendar. Sailing due south from the port across the Southern Ocean, the next landfall as the crow flew was Antarctica. The Southland Times was preoccupied with shipping news, patent remedies, racing results, and reports on the distant battles. There was little threat of the war reaching New Zealand soil, but its effects were apparent in the unusual hush that muted everyday life in Bluff. So many of the town's eligible men had enlisted that the farms and sheep stations were short-handed. The coastal wireless station in nearby Awarua, too, was hard-pressed to man the continuous listening service for distress calls. Shipping traffic had dwindled as well, but still Awarua listened, the station's amalgamated wireless tower standing sentinel over the barren landscape, waiting for the swarming signals to return. In the autumnal stillness of Thursday, March 23rd, telegraphist Alfred Goodwin strode to the Awarua receiving hut for the night shift. Goodwin swung the dial of the Telefunken receiver to either side of the 500 kilocycle band dedicated to distress calls. The high-powered 30-kilowatt masts could detect an electromagnetic rustle in the atmosphere from as far away as China. But on this particular night, the only sound was atmospherics. It was almost midnight before a trace of barely detectable chatter cut through the static. The incoherent taps resolved into snatches of Morse code, CT, VLB, 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 seeking Awarua Station over and over again.